to the Lamb of God. Hymn number 190, everyone together. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He who redeemed you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone is able to save you. Sing the second. When Satan tempts and doubts and fears assail, look to the Lamb of God. You in His strength shall over all prevail. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Sing the last. Fear not when shadows on your pathway fall. Look to the Lamb of God. Enjoy your sorrow. Christ is all in all. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone is.
May be seated. Take your Bible tonight, if you will. Let's go to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. While you're turning there, let me say, after the service tonight, obviously we're going back and having an ice cream fellowship, and we got plenty of ice cream, all right? So I want you to just forget about your diet, forget about fat, forget about anything that goes along with it, and just go for it, indulge yourself, all right? And enjoy that ice cream, and I think there's some brownies back there too, so we ought to be in good shape. And you just can't beat a deal like that, all right? So get yourself some of that. But after we get through, what I need people to do is give us a hand. We need folks to kind of take jobs, and we need to clean the church. Okay. We need to clean the church, because Brother and Miss Kelly do that, they're going to be gone, and I don't want them to have to worry about it. And so we want to try to do that for everybody. Just jump in, do just a little bit. It won't take long. We'll be done. And it's cool. The air conditioner's been on, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm sure Brother Kelly and Miss Kelly can direct you, you know, and if you ever take a job, you know, we got a bathroom here and a bathroom there, you know, and do all that kind of stuff. And then, ladies, the men will clean up in the fellowship hall, and we'll wash the spoons and everything for the dipping, all right? And I'll personally wash the bowls. Now, those of you that understand the whole deal understand the bowls go in the trash can, all right? So I'm happy to wash the bowls, but no. We'll wash spoons, all right? But we'll get that taken care of and do that. And so, all right, Colossians chapter 1, if you will. Lord willing, going to begin tonight and preach through the book of Colossians. Not tonight. We're just going to start, all right? But so just feel like that's what the Lord had me to do. So verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And we'll leave off reading right there. Now, obviously, the Apostle Paul is the man that God used to write this epistle to the Corinthians. To the Colossians. And he's the human author. And now, we believe without a shadow of a doubt, he wrote it, but God told him what to write, all right? And so he's writing. Now, he's writing to, I just remind people of this, because sometimes I think we forget things. And he's writing to a local New Testament church that existed in that day in a city of Colossae. And that city was in what is today Western Turkey, all right? And it was a local New Testament church. It's a church just like First Baptist Haltom City is a local New Testament church, all right? And so that's what it is. And so God had a letter. He had some information he wanted to put in there. And he had Paul write that letter. And God saw fit to preserve it for you and I as part of the scriptures that he's left for us, all right? And what I want you to do tonight, I want you to focus in on some words that are in verse 4, all right? Now, Paul, as he always does, he introduces his book. When he writes one, he tells you who's writing it, and he says he's an apostle. And he usually says grace and peace, all right? And he did here. And he mentions a fellow, Epaphras, down there in verse 7. Epaphras was probably the pastor of the church at Colossae, all right? Probably the guy who pastored that church and ministered those people. But as I said, I want you to look at some words there in verse 4. Note, those words are since we heard. Since we heard. Somebody had been talking or telling about these folks that were in the city of Colossae that were members of that church. Someone been talking about them. Now, it's not always a bad thing when you're talked about, okay? It can be a good thing when you're talked about. It's okay. And it was in this case. And what people say about you often constitute what is known as your reputation, all right? And it's what folks think about you. And that it's neither here nor there. Sometimes you can have a good reputation. Sometimes you can have a bad reputation. I believe these folks here in Colossae had a good reputation. And a good reputation then. And I want us to see tonight, just look at this. I want to speak to you on the subject of the reputation of New Testament Christians. The reputation of New Testament Christians. I believe we ought to have a reputation. There ought to be a reputation in around us. People in the church, people outside the church, we ought to have a reputation. Sometimes, and it's a sad thing, sometimes the reputation of New Testament Christians in our day is bad. We don't have a good name, but we ought to. We ought to. And I want you to see these folks had a good reputation. I want you to look about of what it said here. It says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. We heard of your faith. Hey, they're talking about their faith. These were people of faith, all right? They were people of faith. Now, faith in such a way that people talked about it. All right? People talked about it. And it's one thing, a lot of people, they say, well, have faith. But nobody talks about it. We ought to have the kind of faith that people talk about. You say, well, man, what do you mean by that? Well, first of all, the faith that produces salvation, obviously, all right? Because that is the faith that changes us and makes us what God wants us to be. And that faith that produces that salvation is faith that we get. We hear the gospel. We believe it. We receive it. And the Lord saves our soul. And unfortunately, that seems to be where it ends with a lot of people. But I want to say this to you. If that's where it ends with you, nobody's going to talk about it. Nobody's going to talk about your faith if all it does is it provides you the way to get to heaven. Because nobody's going to know that. Just the fact that you got saved, unless they were there the night, the day, whatever, you made that profession of faith and they saw it and they said, yeah, or somebody came along and said, hey, so-and-so got saved. Well, what a blessing, and that's a good thing. But that ought not to be the end of our faith. That ought not to be the end of the faith that's talked about by people. The faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ ought to bear testimony in our life And it ought to be displayed in this thing we call faithfulness. We are faithful people, all right? Faithfulness, and that's what gets talked about. The Lord Jesus Christ was faithful to save them. He was faithful to save them. And they were faithful then to the one who saved them. That ought to be us, all right? We ought to be faithful to the one that saves us. Hey, you don't hear about the faith of folks unless they're living at least just a little bit of the life of faith. You don't hear about it. If they're not living a little bit of the life of faith. Now, they don't have to be out there, you know, treading in deep water in faith, all right? But at least a little bit of faith. A little bit ought to be displayed, and somebody ought to say, yep, I can see it. That's a person of faith. You can see that life, and it's changed them, all right? Now, to the world, that means serving God. The world looks at people, and they call people of faith, well, they're serving God, all right? They're going to church. Man, they never miss, all right? They're trying to live for God. That's what the world sees, and faithfulness is viewed that way. And hopefully people talk about us that way. They ought to say, hey, man, they never miss. They never miss. They're faithful. They're faithful. That's a good testimony. That's a good reputation of faith. And then somebody look at us, somebody hear about us, and they know it. Hey, they're always there. They're always in church. I've said it before, we ought to have such a reputation that people said, well, if you're going to steal from those people, do it Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. Because you know they're not going to be home, all right? And they're just not going to be there. We see them get in the car and they leave, you know, and they're obviously not dressed to go to the beach, all right? They're dressed, they're going, and they've got, you know, here they've tucked in this book under their arm. They've got it with them. They're going, or they've got it in the purse. You can tell, hey, those people are headed to church, all right? That's what they're doing. And, boy, I'm glad we're still that kind of a church where people bring the Bible. Man, you go to a lot of churches today and see these big, huge mega churches. Nobody's carrying the Bible because they're going to wait on put the words on screen up there. Hey, listen, it's still a good thing for you and me to hold this book in our hand and open this book up and examine what the Word of God says, all right? Hey, we ought to have that reputation. We ought to have that reputation out there in the world. I've said to you, people ought to know. You said, preacher, where are you planning to be on the third Sunday of the year 2032? Well, if I'm alive, I'm planning to be in church. I can already tell you where I'm planning to be. I'm planning to be in church. If I'm not alive, it ain't going to matter. I'm going to be with the Lord, all right? So it'll be okay. But I've already got the plans made. Why? Well, that's just faithful. That's just faithful. That's what I'm planning to do. And it amazes me, so many people today that profess salvation, profess to be saved people, but they never go. They're almost very spasmodic if they go. Hey, they have no reputation in the world of people of faith. Have no reputation of that at all. Hey, we ought to have that reputation. Paul said, since we heard of your faith, we heard of your faith. Somebody was talking about it. Hey, who's talking about your faith? Who's talking about your faith? Who sees it? Who's talking about it? Hey, not just only that faith, but notice what it says there in that same verse, and of the love which ye have to, boy, that word all. That the love which ye have to all the saints. The love which you have to all the saints. Hey, these people had a reputation. They loved the saints. Now, not Saint Christopher and Saint. No, that's Christians. Christians, all right? Hey, that's who the saints are. The saints are people that are born again, all right? Now, you can be a saint. You might not live like a saint, but you are a saint if you're saved, okay? But, hey, these people had that reputation. They loved all the saints. They loved all the saints. That means they loved their brothers in church. But I also feel like it went further than that. They loved some folks outside their church they knew were saints of God, and they had a love for them. We ought to be those kind of people. That ought to describe us, all right? Now, I've said a lot about God's people loving people on a lot of occasions, and I'm not going to park here tonight, all right, and make you squirm about it. But I just want to remind you that ought to be our reputation. It ought to be our reputation. What the Lord said something about that, didn't he? Didn't he say they'll know that you're my disciples? By your love. Said that. Hey, that ought to be our reputation. Ought to be too many times, way too many times, the reputation in a lot of churches and a lot of Christians is, and then people can't even get along with themselves. They can't even get along with people in the church. Now, boy, what a sad state of affairs that is if people in the same church and they sit on opposite sides of the church and glare at one another, won't speak, go out opposite doors and will not speak to one another. Boy, that's a mess. That's not a good reputation, all right? Hey, that scriptural love is, hey, we love enough to hurt when somebody else is hurting. That's the kind of love. We love enough to rejoice when others rejoice. That's what the Bible says. That's what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. Man, we ought to rejoice with those that rejoice. We ought to mourn in sorrow with those that are in sorrow. That's the way we ought to feel. That's our love for one another. It ought to be like that. Now, you say, well, why isn't it like that? Well, hey, I'll tell you, part of this selfishness causes believers to not care when others hurt. Selfishness. Well, I don't care. It didn't affect me. Doesn't affect me. That's just selfish. And you say, well, why don't they rejoice when others rejoice? That's jealousy. We're envious. Well, man, you know, I could rejoice, but man, they don't deserve that. What do you mean they don't deserve it? Man, they don't deserve that new vehicle. They don't deserve that new house. Well, who does? Deserve it. But we ought to rejoice. And praise the Lord. I'm glad for you. Hey, you got a job promotion? Wonderful. You got a raise? Boy, it's wonderful. I'm glad. Glad. We're not going around jealous and saying, well, I don't know how it happens to you. Hey, man, we ought to rejoice. Say, why don't we? Envy, jealousy. We don't hurt when others hurt. Why? Because we're selfish. The only ones we're concerned about, I'm just concerned about me. Hey, there ought to be that mourning. There ought to be that concern. You know, sometimes the hardest people to love are the ones we know the best. Sometimes the hardest people to love are the ones we know the best. You say, what do you mean? Well, we know their frailties. We know their frailties. We know their failures. We know their falsehood. And we think about those things. Well, they're just putting on. Well, they may be just putting on, but you ought to love them anyway. Well, that's not real. That's okay. Love them anyway. Well, I heard what you said, but I know it's not true. Love them anyway. Hey, they had that reputation. That church at Colossae had that reputation. They said, we've heard of your faith, and we've heard of your love for all the saints. Not just the special ones. And you know, there's always people in church, everybody, it's easy to love them. You know, I mean, there's just people in the church. It's easy to love that person. But there's others. Not that easy to love, you know. They sometimes rub you the wrong way. You know, they have a sense of humor. It doesn't match yours. And you go, I don't know what they think's funny about that. That's okay. Just laugh because they're laughing, okay? Just enjoy it, you know. Enjoy it. Hey, you're having a good time. I'll have a good time with you. Hey, they had that reputation. They had the reputation for faith. They had the reputation for loving all the saints. But wait a minute. It doesn't end there. I want you to see their reputation. You drop down there. Look in verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. And now remember, when we talk about hope, when the Bible talks about the hope of the child of God, remember, we're talking about a confident assurance, okay, that it's going to happen. We know it is. We talk about a Christian hope, and we're talking about a Christian. Really, it's what the world would say. Well, we know it, all right? We know it. It isn't some wild chance. You know, there's a wild chance. I mean, there was a ton of people that put and bought a lottery ticket to try to win that $1.3 billion lottery, and they had hope, but not much chance. Very little chance. Hey, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about that wild-eyed thing. We're talking about a confident assurance. And Paul's writing to these people. He said, man, we know about that hope, which is laid up for you in heaven. We know it, that hope. Hey, these people had a hope for the future. And that shouldn't that be our reputation? We've got a hope for the future. We live in a day. Right now, things are kind of dismal looking. Things look bad, you know, prices, there's inflation, and we're arguing about whether or not we're in recession, you know, and we've got all that going on, and we get excited because gas is only $3.39 a gallon. Holy mackerel, that's nothing to get excited about, all right? But we do, hey, but we're talking about God's people. God's people, we're to have a reputation for having a hope for that future, and it's settled. That is an anticipation of heaven, okay? An anticipation of heaven. We're looking forward to it. This wasn't a crowd of grumpy, down in the mouth, forlorn, woe is me, or suffering for Jesus crowd, all right? This was a crowd of people that was happy and an excited bunch, man. I believe if you went to the church at Colossae, you got into a congregation of people that were excited about their position as a child of God, excited about the fact, hey, we've got heaven to look forward to. That is where we're going, all right? They served God here on the earth while looking forward to going there, which was heaven, all right? They didn't spend a lot of time wandering around complaining about what they couldn't do. Well, we're Christians. We can't do that. We're not supposed to do that. We don't do that. I'll never forget my good friend, pastors in Decatur. And they had a preacher that was preaching, and he was talking about what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat. And there's more that you shouldn't than what you should, okay? And so he did it for his health, and he advocated this diet. And I was talking to that preacher, and his wife was there, and they were talking about what he said. And he said, man, his wife said, we can't dance. We can't go to movies. So we can't go mix swimming. Now we can't eat. No. Now she was joking, all right? She was joking, all right? But we live in a day where so many people, that's their take on us fundamental Baptists. And y'all always moping around talking about what you can't do. Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't spend much time thinking about what I can't do. Because there is too much to get excited about. There's too much to be happy about, okay? There's too much, man, and we get together in the house of God. We get together for the preaching of the Word of God. We ought to be excited people. We ought to be happy. We ought to come in going, what's going to be on the plate tonight, okay? What is going to be here tonight? What are we going to rejoice in? You say, well, I would do that, but preacher, every time you preach, you're just preaching to me. Well, of course I'm preaching to you. I'm not going to preach to the people that aren't here. But it's not a miserable thing. It's not a deal. Oh, man, here we go again. All right, no, it's, hey, here we can shape up. This is what God wants us to be. This is what he wants us to do. We've got that wonderful position. Hey, we enjoy the fellowship of other believers, this business of living our faith. And but, man, on top of that, we've got a hope of heaven. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. When one of our members dies suddenly, unexpectedly, now we're heartbroken, but we're not devastated. We're not devastated. Why? Because we know where they are. People talk about, well, I lost my husband a few years ago. We don't lose them because we know where they are. We know where they are, okay? And that there's rejoicing. And for the child of God, right with God, there's a tiny little bit of envy. There's just a tiny little bit of envy. We look at it and we go, man, they ain't got to put up with this junk down here anymore. We just don't have to do that. Now, that's not to mean we want to, you know, hasten death, because that's in the hands of God. But it helps us to face it and look forward to it. And man, we're looking forward to heaven. Excited about it. I don't come to church downcast, downtrodden. Man, what a joy it is to know you're saved. Hey, that was their reputation. That was the reputation of that church. Now they gathered together to celebrate the fact they were saved and enjoy it, planning for heaven. We gather together and we sing. We sing those songs of faith. Why? Because it's just a little bit of celebration time, all right? Just a little bit of celebration time. What a joy it is to separate ourselves from the world, get away from the cares and everything, get together with God's people, sing the great songs of Zion, listen to the word of God be preached, get excited about that fact. That ought to be the reputation we have. We walk out those doors, it shouldn't be. Oh, man, we've taken another beating tonight. No, it ought to be a happy look. There ought to be a smile on our face. God's done something for me. God's spoken to me. God has spoken to me. Hey, that was their reputation, all right? They were people of faith. Their reputation was they loved all the saints. Their reputation was they had a hope of heaven, boy. I mean, it was obvious. You could tell it. You could see it. But look again. Look at verse 6. Notice he's talking about the word of the truth of the gospel in verse 5, which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Hey, it brings forth fruit. Fruit is produced. The truth of the gospel, when it's believed, will bring forth fruit. Fruit. Now listen to me. Fruit's not much use if it can't be seen. It's just not much use if it can't be seen. We lived in Florida. We had some orange trees in our yard. We had, a tangerine tree in our yard. And we had a kumquat tree. I don't know why anybody would plant one of those, but we had one, all right? But I want to tell you, it was a good thing to go out there and see the fruit. It was a good thing to go out there and see the fruit. Fruit doesn't do any good if you go out there and say, well, there's a fruit tree. Where's fruit? It's imaginary. You just have to imagine it's there. Well, who would want that, all right? Who would want that? Fruit, if it's going to do us any good, it's got to be seen, all right? Hey, if it can be seen, fruit, real fruit, the fruit of the child of God can be enjoyed by other people. It can be enjoyed by other people because they can see it. They can see it. You said, what are you talking about? Well, one fruit's in Galatians chapter 5, all right? You say, here's part of that fruit, man. It's in Galatians chapter 5. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. Nine things that the Word of God lists and says that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What produces that? Well, the Holy Spirit of God, you believe the gospel, all right? Verse 5, it says, the word of the truth of the gospel. It gets in you. It's come unto you. You've received it, and it'll bring forth fruit. Bring forth fruit. Fruit that can be seen, all right? Not, hey, I believe this, such fruit cannot be hidden. Such fruit cannot be hidden. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. They're not the natural products that come forth from the life of one unless that one has been touched by the Holy Spirit of God. And until that Holy Spirit of God's moved in, you're going to have a hard time producing that fruit. But if that Holy Spirit goes in, you're going to have a hard time not producing that fruit. You're going to have to quench the Holy Spirit to keep from that fruit showing up. I mean, it's just there. It'll come, all right? And if you have those things, it's going to show up. It's going to show up. It's one of those things you can't hide. You cannot hide it. My high school senior English teacher, this is the only thing I enjoyed the whole senior year of English, talked about when he first got started teaching. He had taught for a while. He was an older fellow when I was a senior in high school. And he said, man, I was teaching in a country school. And he said, I got to noticing there's a boy sitting back there by the window in the back of the class. Every now and then he'd spit out the window. And that boy was chewing tobacco. And Mr. Seeley, my 12th grade English teacher, said, I didn't say anything to him. I just walked around back there and pushed the window down. And you know, it began to show up that that boy was having some problems. I mean, you could see it on him. Because for those of you that don't chew tobacco, and I don't either, all right? But it's not made for you to chew it and swallow that juice. It's not like chewing gum, okay? You can get you a piece of juicy fruit and chew it and swallow it and got no problem. But you don't do that chewing that real strong tobacco, all right? If you do, you swallow that juice, it shows up. I mean, it'll show up on your face. And pretty soon, that fellow had to raise his hand, and he needed to leave the room, all right? He had some real problems. Hey, because it showed up. Listen, that's exactly what it ought to be in the child of God. For instance, that joy. There ought to be some joy that just bubbles up in spite of the circumstances. In spite of the circumstances. I mean, here you are. The believer will begin to love some things and some people that he didn't used to love, all right? When you get saved, it changes what you love. It just makes a difference. And now, I'm not going to go through the whole list of nine and we'll be here forever. I won't eat that ice cream, all right? So we're not going to be here for a long time. But I want you to see it. These things that are on that list, those nine fruits of the Spirit, they're going to show up, and it's going to be something you can't help. It's just going to be there. It's not going to depend on the circumstances or the situation at that particular time. Because the child of God, we're not governed by the circumstances we live under. We're not to be governed by the situation that we're going through. Oh yeah, and it can present some difficulty. Sure it can. But there ought to be something in you. The Holy Spirit of God bringing those fruits and producing that fruit. And it does. Hey, it just comes out. It doesn't matter that you can be there in the line at Walmart or the grocery store, and man, you watch that count, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and that number's bigger all the time, and you go, my soul, but you can still find yourself humming a great tune. Why? Because there's something in you. There's that Holy Spirit of God in you, and it brings forth, all right? It brings forth. What happens on the inside of the believer is not dependent on what's happening on the outside. It's not determined by it, and it shouldn't be. We ought to be able to just, those fruits of the Spirit ought to show up, all right? Hey, that's why you can read the stories of the martyrs, the great martyrs of the faith. They went to their death singing, rejoicing, encouraging one another. There'd be several tied at the stake and going to be burnt at the stake, and they'd be encouraging each other. They'd be singing. They'd be singing. Said, well, it didn't hurt. Well, of course it hurt. But there was something inside them. And what was inside them was not dependent on what was happening outside. It was there all the time. It was there. That's why those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could look at Nebuchadnezzar and say to him, now, listen, king, you can do whatever you want to, but we're not going to bow and serve your image. We're just not going to do it, all right? And I don't believe there was an arrogance in the way they said it. I don't believe there was, stick this in your face, king, all right? No. I believe there was respect, but it was, hey, we're just not going to do it. And our God's able, okay? And not only is he able, but we know he will deliver us one way or the other from that furnace. Now, it may be through the flu, okay? Or it may be let us walk out, but he will deliver us. And you said, how can they face it like that? Because of what's on the inside. What's on the inside? Hey, those people in Colossae had that reputation. Isn't that a wonderful reputation? I believe this, it also produced an interest in the believer to see others become believers. When you get saved and the Holy Spirit begins to work in you, you get concerned about other people. You get concerned about other people. There's some other people out there you begin to think of. Well, what about them? Maybe friends. It could be family. It could be somebody at work. It could be the next door neighbor. But there's going to develop in that believer, suddenly we're going to get concerned about other people. And we're not just happy that we're going to heaven and our little group's on the way to heaven, but we get concerned. We want other people to be able to go. All right? There is that reputation that comes along. It produces in us that kind of concern, all right? That kind of care. Let me just ask you tonight, what is your reputation? What is your reputation? Now, by the way, I'm not indicting all of you and saying you're sorry, bunch of Christians. No. But I'm just asking you, you know what your reputation is as a Christian. You know how other people know you. Do people avoid you because of your disposition? They should. They ought not to look at you and think, if that's salvation, if that's Christianity, I ain't wanting no part of it. Hey, something's wrong if people feel that way. They ought to look at you. What's your reputation? I believe this with all my heart. I believe we ought to work at having a good reputation in the biblical sense of that word. What we've just talked about tonight. We ought to have a faith that functions. A faith that functions, that people can see it and say, there's a person of faith. There is a person of faith. Now, they may not believe it. They may not agree. They may think you're a nut. But they're going to look at you and say, there's a person of faith. Faith that functions. A love that flows outward. Or to be there. A love that flows outward, not just concealed within. There ought to be a hope that energizes you. It ought to be evident. That ought to be the reputation. There ought to be fruit that speaks to other people. Lord, to be fruit. What's your reputation tonight as a child of God? What is it? What is it? Sad thing is, I'm afraid a lot of Christians, people look at them and think they're fakes. Oh, you go to church, but nothing's changed. Well, that'd be a sad thing. Well, we ought to have that reputation of the New Testament believer. It ought to be in us, and people ought to see it. They ought to know it. We ought to be the people that go through life. Brother Marion gets after you about smiling when you're singing, you know, and you say, I get tired of it. I do too sometimes, okay? I want to tell him, shut up. Just let the people sing. Leave them alone. All right? But, hey, listen to me. We ought to have a smile. Want to have a smile. Now, some say, but I can't smile and sing at the same time. Okay. But we ought to have a smile. We ought to leave church with a smile. People ought to see, hey, they've got a faith that functions. They've got a hope that energizes them. They've got a love that comes within and it flows outward to everybody. They've got some fruit in their life that speaks to what they are. What's your reputation? Heavenly Father, would you help us to be honest with ourselves?